Hallelujah. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Praise God. Let's turn over to Matthew 6, 24, or it's on your sheet there as well. Matthew 6, 24. We started a series a few weeks ago before Easter called Seek First the Kingdom. And so we're going to pick that up this morning. Matthew 6, 24. Let's go ahead and read that, and then we'll say a few things. We're going to recap. It's been a few weeks, but we'll recap and maybe go a little further, but we're going to go over a few things this morning before we go on. I firmly believe this is the way God's leading us for this time to go through this. These things just grow. As I start down a path, you guys know I'll be on a subject for weeks and months, usually. That's just the way God works in here and through me. And as we do it, it grows. You know, as you start, you just realize, I mean, there's no way I could get it all out this morning. No way. You wouldn't want to hear it all this morning. I mean, you couldn't, you can't, you know, have you ever sat down to eat your favorite meal and you just wish you had, like, you know, you don't want to go into gluttony or anything, but you just wish you had more than one stomach because you know you can only eat so much of it, that's it. You know, if you're like visiting somewhere, come on, you guys, be honest. Don't look so spiritual. I mean, you're like, I know when I go back home, and Steve knows this, there's certain pizza I like and certain meals that I like, and I can only get them there, and I can only eat so much of it. And then I'm not going to be able to get it. Even if you tried to ship it out, it wouldn't be as good as when it's hot, right? So you only can only have so much. And you know, even if you eat it several meals in a row, then it's you know, the second meal, it's always heated up. It tastes pretty good, but it's not quite the same. So you get like one shot. And you can only eat so much, and you don't want to gorge yourself. But at the same time, you want to savor it as much as you can. Is that true or not?
Yeah.
You guys are looking, yeah, whatever. Well, I've never done that. No, that, I mean, you know, you want to be able to eat, but you can only eat so much, and then that's it. Well, that's the same thing. With God's Word, you might think, I can handle more, I want more, but God knows what you can handle and what we can handle as a church, and He's going to bring us up. And if you just kept, you know, when you're done, like, have you ever taken a class where you get to a certain point, and you're done? You can't take anymore, you've had enough, the information's just rolling off your brain at this point. You can't take anymore. You're overloaded. You ever been there? Or in work or something, it's like, all right. You know, yeah. If you ever started a new job, man, it's just like drinking from a fire hose. It's like everything is just going. And, you know, there's so many things you're missing that you're going to get the second, third, fourth, fifth time around that they told you the first day or the second day, but you don't, you're just taking everything in. Your senses are overloaded. You're getting who sits there and what's this person named? You get introduced to 15 people and you don't remember any of their names. And you got to be introduced again. Well, spiritually, you're the same way. If you think you can just get everything now, you're wrong. And we could lay it all out this morning, and you know what? The same thing would happen. In fact, I guarantee you, and this is not a bad confession, we believe, okay, that we're going to get what we need this morning, okay? But you're not going to get all of it. Did you hear me? You're not going to. In other words, you're not going to understand at the end of this service, you're going to understand what you need to understand. Because we believe for that. But you will understand it better, and you should understand it better 5 times or 5 years from now when you hear some of these same things again. Amen or no?
Amen. Yes.
Because do you think we're going to exhaust this scripture this morning? No, we're not. So is there more that you can get out of this scripture than what we're going to cover this morning?
Yes,
and we're going to cover it. That's why we break stuff out. I don't plan it exactly like that. It's just you go with God. God knows how to lay it down in steps so that we get what we need. He's the master teacher. I'm not. But He is. And so if we'll go with Him, He'll put step, step, layer, layer. So the things that we're going to say, however long we're on this series, that we may say 5 weeks from now, if I were to try to say them now, you wouldn't get them the same way as 5 weeks from now because you already have what you're going to get today. You're going to get that. You're going to digest it. And then next week, you're going to get something. Following week, you're going to get something. And then you're going to be ready for more. And you can actually, so you can only get so much this morning. And then you're going to be topped off. And that's where you ought to be. You ought to be satisfied. You got a good meal. You got what you need. And you're ready. You got what God needed to give you. But that's not all there is. You're going to get more. And you're going to get more. And so your understanding is going to increase. So I said all that because we're not going to cover everything that we have in this subject or anything that we have, even where God is bringing us this morning. We're going to go over what we need to go over, and we're going to move forward and one step at a time. And we're going to get what we need to get, but we're not going to get it all. And that's okay. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Matthew 6, 24. Did you find it? I didn't. I'm in Luke. I turned to Luke. Matthew 6, 24. I'll be there just a minute. It says there, no one can serve two masters. Do you think that's true? In my book, in my Bible, that's red. So I don't care what the world says. I don't care what any philosopher says. That's, if they think anything contrary to this, they're wrong. Because the Bible says you cannot, no one. Well, I'm the exception. Nope. Doesn't say your name or my name here. It says no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or money. And we'll read this in the New Living Translation in a minute, but let's just go through it. Otherwise, I'll stop on every verse. May do that in a minute, but we'll go through it. Verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now let's go through that. In the New Living Translation, it's on your sheet there. We're going to read just a few parts of it. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. Yeah, maybe I'll go through the whole thing. We'll go through the whole thing. Verse 24, it says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other, or to hold the other lightly. See, people read despise. Despise, you can mean, yes, you completely blow off somebody, but really it means, in the Bible, when you see that, it's to hold lightly. Like, I mean, and that's, the extreme would be to completely blow somebody off, right? But if you despise someone, it means you hold them in light esteem. You don't really take them seriously. So you can, in other words, it says that, he's saying here, you'll be devoted to one and you'll hold the other lightly. Do people do that? Yeah, they do. They can hold God lightly. It doesn't mean they hate God. It means they hold him lightly. They could be. You cannot serve both God and money. Verse 25, that is why I tell you not to worry about your everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food? And your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest, or store food in barns. In other words, they don't do all the things that some people think you ought to do in order to be financially set. Now, I know the birds, but they don't do some of these things, yet they're set. And Jesus is using them as an example. He's saying, I take care of them. You got to be careful who you listen to as far as what they tell you to do in any area, but financially as well. Whenever somebody tells you what to do financially, ask yourself the question, as a Christian, if I'm listening to these people, do they serve God and do they do with their money what God tells me to do? Because if they don't, why am I listening to them if they don't do that? I'm not saying they don't have certain things in place and you can't glean, but I can't just blindly follow somebody and say they're the expert. Number one, do we believe the Bible or not as far as what it says to do with our money? Do we? Yeah. Okay, then if somebody is saying, I'm not going to do that, but do this, you're already off to a shaky start. You can't do away with what the Bible says to do and then say, yeah, you're going to replace it with something and it's going to work. I'm not saying people can't get certain things but if you're going to follow God and He's going to be your Lord, then you would want to do things the way He says to do it. And then, yeah, you can take certain input from people, but you don't replace. It says, for your heavenly Father feeds them, the birds. Aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers, do you think He cares about flowers? I guess He does. It says so. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Now, we're going somewhere with this morning. You know, I want to touch on a specific part of this, but this touches it right here. Why do you have little faith? In other words, why wouldn't you be following God in some of these things when He takes care of the flowers, who are so much less value than you are? Why would you not believe He's going to take care of you? Why would you do certain things that aren't what He would tell you to do unless you didn't really trust Him, right? That's what He's saying. Why, if He's taking care of the flowers and you're so much more valuable than flowers, why wouldn't you believe He's going to take care of you? Verse 31, so don't worry about these things. Saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. I like the way that says it. These things, what I'm going to do, these natural things, they dominate the thoughts. What does that mean? That is the primary thing they are thinking about. Primary. Dominate. They dominate the thoughts. That means most of the time they're thinking about these natural things. Did God say you shouldn't think about them? No. He said don't worry about them. He said these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Do you believe that or not? He already knows. Does He say they're not important? No. He said He already knows about them. He already knows what they are. He knows how to take care of them better than any of us do. And so He's saying, just trust me. Doesn't say don't use your brain, but He says, trust Him. It says, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God, or seek the kingdom of God above all else. Above what?
All else.
Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Verse 34, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Now, He's not saying don't plan for tomorrow at all. He's saying you don't worry about it. There's a difference. Did you know there's a difference? In fact, if you plan for something, half the time it'll cut out your worry. I mean, I'm not saying you go overboard in planning. Sometimes things go around and round and round in your head, and you're like, what am I going to do about that? What am I going to do about that? I should figure out something. I don't know. Well, you know how you deal with that? You can go to God and say, God, what should I do about this? And then if you can do something about it, then why are you worrying about it? And if you can't do anything about it, why are you worrying about it? If you can do something about it, then go to God and say, God, what should I do about this? And then do it. And then go merrily down the pathway and just say, God's going to take care of it because this is what He said to do and I'm going to do it. If you can't do it, anything about it, then again, Why are you worrying about it? You can't do anything about it. So why would you worry about it? What is it going to do if you can't do anything about it? It's okay. You can't do anything about it, but you're going to worry about it, which is going to do what? Because we've already established you can't do anything about it. So it's going to make it worse. You're not going to even have the brain power that you do have is not going to be in full force on this problem. Your spiritual being in tune with God is not going to be to its highest level if you're worrying about it. In fact, your life's just going to get worse. Amen. We're not talking about worry today. But it's related. So if you look back into verse 24, and this is really, I want to hit on what we hit on last time, but this is the crux of what we're talking about. We're talking about seek first the kingdom of God, and then it says all these things will be added to it. So we're going to be talking about finances and what God would have us do with our finances in general. And the fact is, this has always been my number one scripture when it relates to this. If you will do what God tells you to do, He'll take care of everything. You cannot substitute any other prosperity, whatever you want to say, message, and not do what He tells you to do. You cannot do it. You can't say, well, I'm going to believe for such and such, but I'm going to rebel and not do anything He's telling me to do. In other words, He tells me to go to A, place A, but I'm going to go to B and just believe God. Does not work.
Nope.
At all. Think about it. If God tells you to do something and you do that, then He is going to make sure that you're taken care of doing that. That's the simplest prosperity scripture you could have, and it's the most effective. Just do what God told you to do, and He'll take care of it.
Amen.
Because in doing what He tells you to do, if you say, well, it takes faith, you're going to have to believe something in order to do what He told you to do and not do what you think you should do. It takes faith to obey Him. Amen?
Yes.
Well, I just don't believe God, but, so I don't believe Him, but I'm going to do what He tells me to do. No, you show that you believe Him because you're actually doing what He told you to do. Well, I believe God, but I'm not going to do what He tells me to do. I'm just going to do this, and now I'm expecting Him to bless it. It does not work, period. Well, I'm going to send $1,000 in this ministry because they said if I send $1,000 in there, I'm going to, win the Christian lottery. I'm going to be blessed, but I'm not going to do what He told me to do. Good luck with that. That's not what's in the word. And whenever anybody tells you to give something, you better be sure it's based on Scripture and that God is leading you to do that. If you're trying to use it as a lever, well, I'm going to give this and then, like a slot machine, I'm going to pull this and then it's all going to come out for me because the guy said it. You better be sure it bears witness with the inside and you're not looking to give in order to pull some lever that it's going to come the way you believe it's going to come. You do it because you believe God is leading you to do it, and you put how it comes and when it comes into His hands and believe Him that He's faithful to His word. Amen.
Amen.
So it says, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. So we're going to be talking about seek first the kingdom of God and these things will follow you. The number one thing this has to do with, and this is where we're starting, we started last time, and I want to continue here. Verse 24 says that you cannot serve two masters.
Right.
It says, "For he will." Let's read it in the New Living Translation. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Cannot, cannot. What does that mean? Means you cannot. You cannot serve both God and... But I have a way around that. No, you don't. You're deceived. Anybody that believes that is wrong. Amen.
Amen.
You cannot. You cannot serve God and money at the same time. What does serving somebody mean? It means you do what they say. So if the money tells you, go over here, what if somebody offers you a job that pays, you pick the figure, you can make it as big as you want, but let's just say percentage-wise, let's say it's 50% more than what you're making now. Most people would say that's a no-brainer. No, it's not. No, it's not. See, that, again, who's telling you that it's a no-brainer? Who said that? Number one, you shouldn't be using your brain so much to make these type of decisions. I'm not saying you shut your brain off, but that's not the umpire. I don't care if your brain thinks this is the best idea ever. If in the inside it's scratching you and saying no, 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 you listen to the inside. We have other series on being led by the Spirit of God for weeks and weeks. We went on that. Go look those up on the website. That's why it's there. But we're not going to go on that. But you go by your spirit. You don't go by your brain. It could look great on the outside, but it is absolutely wrong, and your figures and your plans can't see what's coming down the road. I don't care who you are, how smart you are, how many advisors you have. It does not trump what's on the inside. On the other hand, you could look at something and say, somebody would be nuts to do this. There's no way I'm doing that. But on the inside, you're thinking, that's where I'm supposed to go. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's what you go with. But your brain may say, you are an idiot. You are a fool. You don't even want to tell anybody what you're going to do because they're going to go, what? Have you done the, what? You're going to do what? You're just out of your gourd. No. You can't go by your brain. So if a job came up and you said it was going to offer you 50% more, like I said, people would say, oh, that's a no-brainer. You take that. No, you don't. What is the Lord saying? Because if you're going to be moved by the 50%, who is telling you what to do? The 50%. Did God tell you to go there? That's what you have to know. Now, if it's 50% more and God told you to go there, by all means, go there. But some people will say, ooh, it's 50% more. God is blessing me. He must be blessing me. I'm going here. And they don't even ask him. You can't do that. That's a way to get... we're not going to go into this. I don't have time to cover it all. But you have to understand the devil, Satan, is a real being, and he is the god of this world. Okay, I can't give you... you go 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 4:4. You know, there is lots of scripture on this. I don't have time to go into it. I have other messages on that. But you have to know, and if you look at the Wednesday nights, like last fall, when we were talking about seven steps to the highest kind of faith, when we talk about the importance of knowing the Word and in knowing that your redemption, that you've been conveyed from darkness and light, we go into it. So if you want to know where some of those messages are, go back on the web last fall on the Wednesday nights. You'll see that. And we go into it in detail. But you have to know that God is not in control of everything that happens directly on this earth. Is he the Lord of all? Yes, he is. Is he God of the universe? Yes, he is. And he does not make men do things. He's not in control of men's wills. And he's not in control of everything that happens on the face of the earth. There is a devil. People would like you to think he doesn't exist. That's a mistake. He absolutely does exist, and he is the God. The Bible calls him the God of the... Okay, let's just turn over real quick. I don't want to go this way, but we're going to because it's related. 1 Corinthians. Look at least one scripture. Let's see. I think it's in 2 Corinthians. Yep. Okay, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. Second Corinthians 4, verse 3. Praise you, Lord. Don't get me wrong. Go in. When I say I don't want to go this direction, I'm just saying I wasn't planning on going this direction. We'll go wherever the Lord leads us. If I don't want it, doesn't really have anything to do with it. I'm going to do my best to follow what God wants to do. Thank you, Lord. Verse 3. Everybody there? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has what?
Blinded.
Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Whose mind the God of this age. has blinded. Who? The god of this age. Who is it? I could give you other scripture. That's Satan. He's blinded people. Why would people do the stupid things that they do, not believe him, reject him, reject what he would want them to do? Because they've been blinded. That is true. Now notice what it says. The minds, whose minds the god of this age has blinded. Satan cannot blind your spirit. Did you hear me? Your spirit is a true guide. You have the Holy Spirit bearing witness with your spirit that you are children of God. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 14 through 16 in there. So you have the Mighty One, the Holy Spirit, inside of you. Satan can manipulate circumstance. That's why we don't put out fleeces in the New Testament. Well, if this happens, this must be God. That is not being led by the Spirit. There is a God of this world. He can manipulate people. There's all kinds of people that will listen to his voice. They don't know it. He just has to nudge them. And he's not more powerful than God. He's not even in the same arena as God. It is not two equal and opposite forces, good and evil. God, it's not even worth saying in the same sentence. Satan is so much smaller than God. He is a created being. God is the all-powerful, almighty creator. That's why when Satan thought it was a good idea to come against him, he got whipped in short order. And all those angels that came with him, I don't know what they were thinking. The third of them came with Satan and went up against God, and they got put in their place. But he can't take on God face to face. He can't win. He's already been whipped by Jesus. And every Christian has been redeemed from his power, whether they know it or not. It's a fact. It's not a doctrine. It's not a teaching. Satan is the God of this world and was the Lord and God of every person who has not been born again. And by Jesus making that sacrifice, he paid a ransom. And as we call on him, actually, for real, legally, we are transferred from the control of Satan, being our father, being our controller, to God. We're in a new family. That's right. And so you are actually in a different family. Legally, he has no authority over you. Satan has already stripped him, but he is an outlaw. How many of you know people that break the law don't follow the law? People that break the law are prone to lie. I can say a lot about that, and I'm not going to go there with some of the laws in our country. But Satan is called the father of lies. That means if he tells people something, a good chance it's a lie. In fact, he lies all the time. He just puts half-truths out there. So all he can do is convince a child of God somehow or another that they don't have the authority that they have, convince them that they're not redeemed, convince them that they don't have the rights and privileges that they have, because it's a done deal and he knows that. But just like legally in the state of Massachusetts, or just like my brother's a lawyer, so I got to watch out because he'll make he actually knows the law. But in the United States, there are certain things that you have rights and privileges, but if somebody can convince you you don't, they can con you. It happens every day, right? But that doesn't mean you don't have the rights and privileges. If you knew what was yours, then you could act on it. But if you don't know, you can be conned, you can be stripped, you can have people deny you what is rightfully yours, but that doesn't mean you don't have it. That means you've been duped, right? Well, that's what Satan does. That's what he goes about. He goes about lying to people because he knows that he can't take God on head-to-head. He's already lost. So what does he do? He knows he can't take a child of God on head-to-head if they know who they are. But if they don't, he can come up and convince them and lie to them and make circumstances look a certain way so that the child of God will agree with the circumstances and not agree with God. And he works through your sense realm. In other words, he can deceive your eyes. He can deceive your ears if you let him. He can deceive your mind. And he can He can outthink you any minute of any day ever. He is infinitely smarter than you are, naturally speaking. He is a being that's been around for at least millennia, and he can whip anyone in here and anyone on the planet in any thinking battle, any kind of debate, any kind of logic challenge, which is what exactly he does with men. He feeds men's thoughts, and then they come in and they think it's from them, and so they argue and they get all twisted up with all this stuff, and what about this and what about this? And if you let him and you try to oppose him and try to come at him in the mental realm, he will have you in knots in no time. But he cannot take on your spirit. He can't deceive your spirit. He cannot deceive that inward witness. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is there. Because your spirit cannot be deceived unless you willfully, it can't be. Your conscience, what we would call the voice of your spirit, will tell you when you're going to make a mistake if you're listening. But if you override it by your head and say, well, it looks so good, it looks so good, you're in the realm of the enemy. Now, did I say shut your brain off? No. Use your brain. It's not the umpire. It could look really good, and it is good, and it bears witness inside, and you say, yep, that's the way we're going. That's fine. But if it looks good, and it looks like, well, it's more money, which is what we're talking about. It's more money. It has to be God. It doesn't have to be God. No more than having less money has to be God. It just is. Do you realize some people would say less money, that should be God? Because if you're getting more money, that can't be God, because that's just so into your flesh. They're ignorant, they're misguided. That's why we're talking about this. God is not about the money. He's about the money telling you what to do, which is exactly what we're talking about. You can't serve both. So if the money's telling you what to do, who can control the money? The enemy can control money. He can control jobs because he has people that listen to him. Do I say they're possessed? No. I said it's subtle. He's controlling people all over and they don't even know it. Media and everything, just nudge them. This is the way you ought to act. This is the way I act. You don't have to hear the voice of the devil. You just look, people drone, you know, just space out and watch thing after thing and don't look at what they're watching, and they go, oh, that's how I'm supposed to act. Well, that's what I'm supposed to wear. Oh, that's okay. I guess that's okay now. That used to be not okay 10 years ago, but I guess that's okay now. And they just, they enact it. Oh, that's okay. You're okay. This is all right. Oh, I should buy this. I should buy this car. You know, and it's just, now, did I say all that's demonic? No, but you cannot convince me that the way culture is going and everything is not influenced by the God of this world. It absolutely is. And so it's not that big of a jump. You can't go by circumstance and what's happening to determine the voice of God, period. And if you do, let me ask you, if you're led by money, then you're led by whatever is behind that money being there. In other words, if somehow money comes, and if it's just a coincidence, and you think that is what I ought to do because it's the money, then you're led by however the money got there. In other words, somebody can put you off course by money. God's not your Lord anymore, your master. It's wherever, whoever has the most money or lack of money. It costs too much. Well, we can't do that. It costs too much. Same thing. That's being led by money. I remember Kenneth Copeland saying this once. He said, if you make a decision by money, you will always make the wrong decision. He was talking about buying a plane. And he was talking, actually, he was talking, he related this story back in like the late 90s. I saw it was a Holy Ghost meeting for Brother Hagin, and they were buying a plane. And Kenneth Copeland got up because he had already had several planes, and he was talking about they were taking an offering to buy the Kenneth Hagin's ministry a plane. And Kenneth Hagin or Kenneth Copeland got up and said, he related a story, and he said, you don't look at the amount. Do you realize when how much time you could save and the peace that you have when you're on that plane and how the ministry could be more effective because of the plane and how much it's going to get you in terms of getting the gospel out? It's not about flying around in a plane. to say, well, I fly around in a plane. It's because the time Pastor Hagin and Mrs. Hagin, while we were down there, would say this over and over again. I mean, their schedule was nuts. When they would go out, like when it was time for graduations, you know how many schools Rhema has around the world? They would hit all these graduations and speak at all these things. I mean, it was like jump in the plane and they had a pilot and go to this next thing and they would change in time zone. They said it over and over. There is no way, it was impossible to do that with commercial flights. Impossible, because you'd have to sit there and wait in the airport and with security and all this stuff. Impossible. So you can't say, well, we don't have enough money. We can't do it. What if God said you could do it? If God says you're supposed to do it, then you're supposed to do it regardless of what it looks like. You can't say, well, I just don't have the money. If God told you to do it, then maybe He knows something you don't know. Well, you take this job over here. Well, yeah, but it's $20,000 less, Lord. Who are you talking to? Seriously, we're going to tell God the status. Do you think He doesn't know that it's $20,000 less? Why would He tell you to do something? Maybe He knows something we don't know.
That's right.
Who are we going to be led by? By the dollar amount or by the Lord? Did you know? What do we read? Look on your sheet there. Verse 31, look at the New Living Translation, Matthew 6, 31. It says, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? Do you think you could say that? Listen, look at those three questions. If you're going to, I'm not advocating taking a job that's less money. Okay, that's not my point. Okay? That's not what I'm saying that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you were to go a certain place and you felt like it was the right place, yet it was less money, and you believed it was the Lord, some of these thoughts could very likely come to your mind. What will we eat? What will we drink? In other words, how are we going to make ends meet if we do this? What is that? That's natural reasoning. Am I telling you to shut your brain off? No, but you have to establish what is the umpire for what you're going to do. Is it the Lord that's telling you to do that, or is it you're going to figure this out, and if you can figure it out, then it's good. If you can't, you're not going to do it. Who just determined what you're going to do then? Think about it. I mean, it is this black and white. I know it feels gray, but really, this is simple. And this messes up so many Christians. Because why? Because you get in the arena of thought and try to figure it out when you know what God has told you to do, you are opening yourself up to the enemy. He will get you in circles, and he will ask these questions. You're going to do what? How are you going to pay for it? You don't think we heard some of that stuff when we moved out here? You're going to move your family halfway across the United States? What? What are you going to do? How do you silence that? The same way you silence everything God said. If God told you, you have to know, did God tell you to do something, then it is God said it. Well, what are you going to eat? I'm not sure, but God told me to do it, so I figure He has it figured out. I don't really have to worry about that. Yeah, but you can see how much it's going to be here. You're stupid. You're a fool. I believe I can see that. I can read. I can do the spreadsheet and the budget. And I believe God knows more about this, and He has a way. Amen?
Amen?
How many times in the Bible did God tell somebody to go do something and in the natural and say, I'm going to do what?
Yeah.
We're going to go against this army with how many people? That doesn't make any sense. Yet God would tell them to do it. Now, I'm not telling you that you're supposed to just shut off your brain. You just don't use it as an umpire.
Yeah, come on.
You don't let it tell you what to do. It's not the final authority. How many masters can you serve?
One.
Can you serve two?
No.
No. So who? It's about who's telling you what to do and who are you listening to. You can't really get past, if we don't get this down, than anything else that we're going to talk about concerning seek first the kingdom. You can't gloss over this and say, well, I know, but I'm going to do this, and I'm just going to believe that God knows my heart, and he's going to bless me. You cannot do that. This is a hang-up. It's a hang-up for a lot of people. You can't get past this. Jesus firmly said that we can't serve too. So when we're talking about, when you're looking to believe God for your needs, we need to know, each of us, that we are where he told us to be, doing what he told us to do. And if you know that, now you can face, I'm not saying you won't have challenges, I'm not saying you won't have things come against you, but you can look at the circumstances and say, God told me. So therefore, it's going to be fine. God told me to do this, he has it figured out, so it's going to be okay. God told us to do this. See, you have to come back to the word of the Lord. The Bible has directions for us to do generally. It has principles exactly like what we're talking about. Don't serve two. You can't serve two people. That's a principle. But and seek first the kingdom of God. That's a principle that's in the word. It does not tell you what job to take. It tells you to be led by the Spirit of God, not to seek money, to be led by him and listen to him. But it does not tell you what job to take. It does not tell you whom to marry. It doesn't tell you where to live. You have to discern those how? With your spirit. Yeah. It didn't say with your brain. Mm-hmm. Because if you're going by your brain, you might as well throw the whole thing out. How many of you with your brain understand how a virgin gave birth to Jesus 2,000 years ago? And he came and grew up and lived a sinless life and went to the cross for us so that we could be, and he died, he rose again from the dead, and because of that, if you believe on him, that you are made right with God, you are born again, your spirit's recreated, and you'll live for eternity with him. How many with your brain totally understood what I said, and your brain says, that makes perfect sense, I can go to textbooks, I can explain all that. Anybody? So that's the basis of our faith. And I'll just say another thing. There is no emphasis whatsoever on the Spirit in natural life. People, they totally negated this. They've made it, it's just about your mind. Is that right? Naturally speaking, you get education, not against education. I have an education. You get as much education as God tells you you need. But don't base your life on education. Education is fine for your mind. But people base what they're going to do and if they're qualified to do things on mind things, and they totally negate their spirit. Their spirit is silenced. And so much of Christianity is like this too. There are parts of Christianity that are completely mind-based. They don't listen to this. They don't know this. They would probably argue, but it is completely natural. In other words, they look to see the will of God based on things that are natural. And the spirit is just locked up and not listened to. Do you realize we were created to live and make decisions on our spirit? God gave us a brain, yes, but he did not give your brain. Your brain is a help to get you around in this realm. It is not supposed to be what's leading you, because it can be deceived. Your brain can be talked out of things. Your spirit cannot, if you listen to it. It can look like everything looks wrong on the outside, but your spirit's just getting stronger, saying, yep, that's where we're supposed to go, yep. Yep, I can see it. What is that? That's faith. Why? Because God knows what's going to happen, and your spirit's picking up on what the Lord's saying, and it's saying, this is where we're going to go. I don't see it, but this is what we're supposed to do. And then you walk long enough, and boom, stuff's there. You couldn't see it. You could not discern it with your natural senses. It's not natural. It's supernatural, and we as Christians are supposed to live this way. But you won't hear that in the natural realm. You won't hear that from people. You know, people would ask us. People asked us this when we moved out here. What are the demographics? I actually did look at the demographics after the fact, but I wasn't looking at the demographics to say I'm supposed to move there. What does that have to do with anything? If God told you to go do something, don't you think He knows the demographics? People, seriously, and there are whole areas of Christianity, they tell you this is how you determine. I read books. This is how you determine where to plant a church. You go, you do look at the demographics, you figure out this and this. I know people that made decisions like that. But what does that have to do with what God told you to do? What if the demographics don't agree with what you think they should be, and God still says that you're supposed to go? What are you going to do then? Ignore the demographics? Well, I guess maybe, you know, I'm not saying don't do it if it's a help to you. Amen. We can't serve both God and money. All right, in closing, look at Exodus on your sheet there. We won't take time to turn there. Exodus 20. Gosh, I guess we hammered those first two. Exodus 20, verse 1. Anybody recognize this portion of Scripture? This is the beginning of the Ten Commandments. It says, "And God spoke all these things, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." First commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Well, God would determine what you do and don't do. If anything in our lives, and this is something we have to be aware of, and everybody, we're in the process of being sanctified. We've been born again, but we're in the process of being transformed in the likeness of Jesus, how we actually walk our lives out. None of us has arrived, but we've left. If you've stepped out and started following God, He said, "You shall have no other gods before me." Nothing is supposed to be before Him. Now, this is, like I said, it's a process. But when we see something that is, and we identify it, then we ought to change it. And you ought to change it with His help. To say, "Well, I just can't do that," that's a lie. That's not true. "Well, this is the way I was brought up." So what? If He told us to do something, then we see it in the Word, then we change. We tweak whatever it needs to be tweaked. We change our thinking to line up and not to put it before Him. If anything else is telling us what to do and telling us something is impossible or telling us something, you know, is easy, "We'll do this, this looks easy." You cannot go by that. You cannot make decisions based on that. You have to make decisions based on His Word and on the Spirit. Amen.